Welcome to our little podcast. And today, November 9th, I would like to kind of go over the readings in the lectionary for today, because today is the Feast of the Dedication of the Lateran Basilica. Basically, a little background before we get into this. The Lateran Basilica is the cathedral of the Bishop of Rome. And as such, it is the cathedral for the entire world, because the Bishop of Rome is known as the Pope, and he is the Bishop of the entire world. He's the head of the bishops. The primary among equals, as the doctrine has developed over the centuries. And because of that, and because this particular building or first basilica of the world, so to speak, was put in place on this day by Pope Sylvester I. It is a sign of the union that we have with the see or seat of Peter as the head of the church, and also shows how we care for one another and fit together in the body of Christ. So that's kind of the basic historical basis for this feast day and the reason why we have special readings that are done on this day. And for the readings, we'll dive in at this point. The first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, prophet Ezekiel. The angel brought me, Ezekiel, back to the entrance of the temple of the Lord, and I saw water flowing out from beneath the threshold of the temple toward the east. For the facade of the temple was toward the east. The water flowed down from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He led me outside the north gate and around the outer gate facing the east, where I saw water trickling from the right side. He said to me, "This water flows unto the eastern district down upon the Arkabah, and empties into the sea the salt waters, and makes it fresh. Wherever the river flows, every sort of living creature can then multiply and live. The sea shall be made fresh, and along both banks of the river, fruit trees of every kind shall grow. Their leaves shall not fade, nor shall their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, for they shall be watered by the flow from the sanctuary. Their fruit shall serve for food, and their leaves for medicine." The word of the Lord. The response: the Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore, we fear not. Though the earth shall be shaken, and the mountains plunged into the depths of the sea, the Lord of the hosts is with us. Our stronghold is with the Lord, the God of Jacob. There is a stream whose ramlets gladden the city of God, the holy dwelling of the Most High. God is in its midst. It shall not be disturbed. God will help it at the break of dawn. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is with the God of Jacob. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is in the God of Jacob. Come, behold the deeds of the Lord, the astounding things he has wrought on the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is in the God of Jacob. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, you are God's building. According to the grace of God given to me, like a wise master builder, I had laid a foundation, and another is building upon it. But each one must be careful how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than the one that is there, namely, Jesus Christ. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. The word of the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. I have chosen and consecrated this house, says the Lord, that my name may be there forever. Alleluia, alleluia. The Gospel is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal of your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. So here we have three very unique scriptures that talk about the temple of God. And not just any temple of God, not the temple in Jerusalem, and not even the Lateran Basilica or any other cathedral or church building or synagogue or any other holy place that could be described on planet Earth, but the temple that is you. From the second reading, we get this clarified because Paul tells us or at least informs the Corinthians, that they are God's building. And this is what it is, that we're built up as a building of God. We are the abode of God. This is the temple that Jesus was referring to, that if it was destroyed, he would raise it up in 3 days, which is kind of his way of talking about his death, burial, and resurrection, and signifying the temple ideology with associating it with the body. When we look at the responsorial psalm, we see that the response is basically reminding us of the holy city of God and the dwelling of the Most High and how God is in its midst. And this is a reminder that if our stronghold is in the God of Jacob and he is with us, then that's because we ourselves are this temple, this holy dwelling of the Most High God, because that's what the Holy Spirit in the temple is and all that. And even going back to the prophet Ezekiel, see, I noticed it was Ezekiel this time. I've been one of those mornings. Everybody with me? But you see that you're seeing it out of water flowing from the right side of the temple, south of the altar. This is kind of an imagery, kind of pointing to possibly, although we're not 100% sure, the direction that Jesus, when he was crucified, was facing was probably east. And when the lance went into his side and water and blood came out of his heart, it sprayed out toward the southern side of the body, which would have been away that direction. I can't see it. Oh, well. But, you know, it's just kind of that. There's kind of an imagery there, kind of showing that from the temple of the body of Jesus Christ, a waters came out, and it's a waters that refreshes all. So it shows that in his death, burial, and resurrection, he opened up a way of all of us to become living. Now, the imagery that's seen here is more of a figurative imagery because it's probably an actual temple that Ezekiel did see and not the body of Christ, although there's some symbolism there that kind of brings it together, and that he saw this water flowing out. It's the same water that's being depicted in, I believe it's the 21st or 22nd chapter of Revelation. I don't have my Bible with me, so apologize for not being able to jump on that. But it talks about in Revelation, one of the last two chapters, about how there's there's my Bible. There's waters that flow out from the temple of God. And of course, I'm dropping everything. That basically waters the area. And while I turn to that page, give me a second, it brings forth trees. I'm going to try to find this exactly. Revelation 10, 11, 15, 19, 21. Let's see here. New Jerusalem, 444 cubits. Saw no temple in the city, for the temple of the Lord is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. Basically pointing out that we are the temple. Here it is. Chapter 22. And then the angel showed me a river of life-giving water, sparkling like crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the streets. On either side of the river grew a tree of life that produced fruit 12 times a year, once each month. The leaves of the tree served as medicine for the nation. You see how this kind of ties into what Ezekiel's talking about, where he says that the fruit shall serve its for food and their leaves for medicine. So we kind of get this connection here, that there's this connection between the temple of God and this. And it's talking about the temple of the body of Christ. Now, you and I are part of the body of Christ. That's why when Paul writes to us, he says, "Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit?" That the Spirit of God dwells in you, and that if anyone destroys the temple, and that even refers to you destroying your own temple by how you live your life, that God will destroy that person, for the temple's supposed to be holy, it's supposed to be pure. In fact, the abomination that causes desolation that a lot of people talk about with prophecies and stuff like that is talking more specifically about the desolation that happens in unbelievers because they reject the Holy Spirit of God. And there's more to that that kind of goes into the reality of our eternal destiny and how to apply that particular understanding. And this is something that a lot of people miss when they go forth. And it's this zeal of the house that the disciples recall in John's gospel that kind of shows us why God wants holiness from each one of us. He doesn't want us merchandising ourselves off. And a lot of the current trends in society is about merchandising who we are, basically not making our bodies a house of prayer, a house of fellowship with God, but rather be something that we kind of sell off to other people. We see this in relationships all the time where people basically treat sex like a handshake nowadays instead of as an intimate moment between two people that should only be shared by those two people and such like that. And just the whole over-sexualization of the culture through various media outlets, whether it's in song, whether it's in movies, whether it's in TV, or even the books we read. Like, you can see people selling 50 Shades of Grey to demean the true beauty and sanctity of what a intimate relationship's supposed to be all about, and kind of showing, in a sense, a dysfunctional relationship because of the type of interchange that they are seen having. Is there total relationship wrong? Not in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways it is. So we got to kind of be aware that there's a difference between merchandising yourself and being holy, and that there is a certain call to purity that is a part of the Christian experience. And this is something that each one of us will wrestle with in our own way, because we have different ways in which we don't keep the temple, meaning our bodies, pure and holy for God. In some cases, it could be just overindulgence on eating in the sense of the sin of gluttony. In others, it could be the extravagance at which we're pursuing objects like cars and money and stuff like that and giving into greed. Others just defile the body by being angry all the time, just throwing fits of rage over stupid things that frustrate them. And little things like that. So it's just realizing that we need to stop making His Father's house, our bodies, a marketplace. And this is what the call of reminding us of the Church of Lateran's dedication is all about, is that we all fit together like lively stones in the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is the church. The point that comes out in in the second reading, where St. Paul tells the Corinthians that the temple of God, which you are, is holy, is a reminder of the holiness that we're called to and how the church is in itself, sense, one of the true marks is the holiness, that there are saints that are products of the church. We recently had the Feast of All Saints come up on November 1st. It's the reason why Halloween or Hallows Eve from the Old English came about, which is the Eve of Hallows, All Saints Day, and how that developed in our culture. And realizing that holiness is such a important thing as far as eternity goes, that we kind of need to reassess how we live our lives and just realize that at some point in time we're going to have to give an account of it. And this Feast of the Church of the Lateran is to remind us how the entire body of Christ is a temple, and that temple kind of develops back toward Christ, because we're supposed to be careful how we build upon it, for no one can lay another foundation other than Jesus Christ. That's what gets us into heaven. But we can lay stuff that can be considered wood, hay, and straw, things that can be burnt up in a fire, which is the imagery Paul uses in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, and that some people understand to be a metaphor or a symbol of purgatory, in a sense. When we die, we get into heaven because we are saved. We have that stone of Jesus Christ, but we have to be purified in some case or in some manner, which could be a twinkling of an eye, or it could be a lot longer than that in a lot of sense. We don't really know how time works in eternity, what place works in eternity, and how that all fits together, because in a reality sense, everything that's not part of this universe is part of another dimension. And you would have to talk to dimensional physicists and quantum physicists to try to get some idea of alternate realities and places and times and how they relate to us to really get a true boring explanation. But we're just going to leave it that it's another alternate dimension. It's kind of an easier way for it to be brought about. But these are the things that are being talked about on this day in remembrance of the church dedication of St. John Lateran, about how we fit together as a body of Christ, how each one of us individually is a temple, and about how each one of us need to strive for the holiness that should mark the church. We should not be known simply as sinners saved by grace, and everybody sees our sin and goes, oh, well, isn't it great that they're in a hospital of salvation? We should become the role models that other people look for. And that's the point of this Feast of St. John Lateran. In fact, it's one of those things that God wants to dwell in us as a pure, holy temple, and he will perfect that out if we cooperate with that grace. And it's something that we need to look at and turn inwardly and pray for during this day. So I leave that to you as your understanding from Scripture today, that God's looking for a temple, a holy temple. You're to be that temple, and that he will bring into judgment everyone who defiles his temple. And that's the purpose of hell and eternal damnation. So keep that in mind, and hope you have a really great day. Thank you.